The Baptist preacher, king of preachers, prince of preachers, in fact, Charles Spurgeon, said this: a genuine revival without joy in the Lord is as impossible as spring without flowers. A genuine revival without joy in the Lord is as impossible as spring without flowers or daybreak without light. Think about that. Peter and the worship team, thank you for leading us all in an awesome time of worship this morning. God bless you. Wasn't it awesome? Wow. Absolutely awesome. What I love about it, it's not about gifts. It's about anointing. God doesn't call us up onto the platform to come with our gifts and say, this is my gift from Jesus. He calls us to be anointed, which is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. And when we live in our anointing, see, the anointing, I don't know why I'm saying this, the anointing doesn't come cheap. God doesn't just give his anointing. The anointing comes through faithfulness, through sacrifice, through service, through understanding that God is sovereign, through understanding authority, how God's authority works, understanding how leadership authority in the church works. God looks at all of that. And when we're faithful with the small, he increases. But it's always in line with what God's authority is all about. And that's when the anointing kicks in our lives. God doesn't use loose cannons. It's not about me standing here with my gift and Peter standing there with his gift and Sherry standing there with her gift and Andrew with his gift and Toby with his and Rain with hers and Daniel with his. That'll be a noise. He looks for anointing. Are we on our knees? Are we in the Word? Are we witnessing out there in the week? Because this is secondary. All of this is secondary. If we don't live what we are up here, then you're not welcome up here. There'll be no anointing. But when we live a life of worship, when we live a life in the Word, when we take the good news of Jesus into our workplace and a client comes in and they see you and they have a prayer request and you start praying for them, then your anointing grows. Your anointing doesn't grow in here. Your anointing grows when you're ministering out there. And when we come in here, we all see the increase. Jesus hasn't called us to fill a place on the platform in the church. He didn't say, go and stand on the church platform. He said, go and be witnesses. Teaching them all, everything I've taught you, teach them to obey. There's obedience in Christianity. And sometimes we wonder why we're joyless. It's because maybe we're just a little bit out of sync with God's way of doing things. We think the old church way of doing things, we think traditional way of doing things. But let's get into God's way, because his way brings the anointing. And the anointing will set us free. Any person here can walk in here. They can have the biggest problems in their life. But if they open themselves to the anointing of God's Spirit, he changes them. And that's why worship is so important. Have you noticed together? Now that we have a service that's all together, it's not compartmentalized. We work together. During the week, we work together, the worship leader and myself and the Lord. On a Sunday, it's live. Anything can happen. God's here. The list will change live on a Sunday. Stuff will happen. I mean, you go watch a rugby game or a football game. It's not pre-planned. They've trained, but it's not pre-planned. We are trained. There's a plan. There's a running order, but it's not pre-planned. It's there, but God's in control. And then the anointing flows because there's a working together. Wow. Awesome. A genuine revival without joy in the Lord is as impossible as spring without flowers or day dawn without light. Charles Spurgeon. Now, I'm sure you wonder what's in this box. Wouldn't you like a big box like that under the Christmas tree? Think back to childhood, maybe. The joy of trying to figure out what is in this box. What is all wrapped up here? Anybody ever have a little sneaky peek as a child? I see the raised eyebrows. Just don't tell your parents. Okay, well, there we go. Now imagine this was your Christmas gift this year. And imagine there was a cute, sweet, adorable, cuddly puppy in here. There's no magic act. Nothing's going to jump out of here. I don't believe in magic. I believe in Jesus. If there was a cute puppy in here with those big puppy eyes and, you know, those oversized paws and it's all so sweet, I guarantee you the lid wouldn't be able to stay on, would it? I mean, the lid would be off, the puppy would be out, and the puppy would be all over you, licking you and kissing you, and it would be fantastic. And there'll be balls of puppy hair everywhere and puppy droppings, and it's going to be one. But the joy of that puppy wouldn't be able to be contained in a box. What about the joy of Jesus in you? What about the joy of Jesus in you? My Christianity is a private affair. Well, affairs generally, you try to keep them private, but they come out somewhere along the line. The truth always finds you out. I'm not in a private affair with Jesus. You have the joy of the Lord in you. You can't keep the lid on it. You know, what's wrong with those Christians in church raising their hands on a Sunday? They're not at a pop concert. No, we're not at a pop concert. We have something way better. We're worshiping the Lord. We can't keep the lid on it. Absolutely. We've got to start dancing in church. Come on. I heard a pastor preach on this, an Anglican vicar, a few months ago. And he said he had to break the thing in his church of everybody keeping it contained. So one Sunday during worship, he started dancing. Wow. No pressure. Joy. And you get a puppy for Christmas. Yes. You get a puppy for Christmas. And you show it off to everyone. Christmas afternoon, after you've eaten four helpings of turkey, deciding to walk it off, you go down and you visit your friends and your relatives. You put the puppy on the leash. Then you decide, right, we're going to visit everyone. You're going to put the puppy in the car. And we go. You even take it to the dentist with you. I mean, you just take it wherever you go. You just love this puppy. But why do we keep Jesus all boxed up on the inside of us? Let's just keep quiet. Joy is what we're celebrating today, this Sunday in Advent. And we're looking at the story of Elizabeth, where Elizabeth's joy overcame her shame. If you're here last Sunday, you remember we talked about Zechariah in Luke 1, and Luke tells us that Zechariah and his wife, all about Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And they were, we know, the parents of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the one who prepared the way for the coming of the Lord. And Zechariah, a good priest, the Bible says, was doing his duty in the temple, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And I mean, imagine that. And said to him in Luke 1, 13 to 15, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." Okay, Lord, it's a bit late. My wife is way beyond, you might have thought this, childbearing age. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. Isn't that awesome? And we know that when Mary and Elizabeth met, the baby jumped in her womb. John recognized the anointing, the anointed one, Jesus. Wow. Different talk for a different day. Where does life begin then? Are we only human beings once we are able to socialize? Where does life begin? Wow. John recognized Jesus in the room. Wow. Isn't that awesome? The catch was this: Elizabeth was old, beyond childbearing years. Imagine the shock to poor old Zechariah. It's not possible for his wife to have a baby. And as a result, his voice was taken away from her. Today we're going to look a little bit closer in the few minutes that I've got left at Elizabeth. She experienced first-hand joy. But to understand her joy, we've got to first of all understand her pain. Because joy is not pain-free. Joy doesn't come because everything's going great in my life. Joy comes in spite of and in the midst of the pain. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5 says this: children are a heritage from the Lord, offering a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with the opponents in court. That was not Elizabeth's story. Elizabeth was married to a priest. She would have been a wife of a priest. They would have done all the priestly kind of stuff. She would have been holding other people's children. She would have been there for other people's kids. But there would have been a shame in their culture put on their life. Because in those days, in that culture, children allowed a family to pass on its name and heritage. They provided hands, extra hands, for the daily tasks of life. And the ability to provide a livelihood through their trade, their skill, and their crafts. And most importantly, children in those days were viewed as a gift from God, and not only as a gift from God, but as a sign of God's favor on their lives. And here's Elizabeth. She is a wife of a priest, and she is childless. She would have borne the brunt of the shame and ridicule of society. They would have made her feel disgraced. They would have had a church lunch. We know it wasn't the church technically, but work with me. They would have had a church lunch, and all the women would be saying, look how old she's got now with our children. What a shame. I wonder what is wrong with her relationship with God. Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah is such a good priest. His wife's so lovely and loving. But I wonder what has really gone down in their lives that she doesn't have a child. She lived under constant shame. The shame that Jesus takes upon himself. Whatever we go through, whatever shame society has put on you, Jesus wants it. He doesn't want you to have it. Jesus wants it. Maybe you're just not the favorite child. Somebody else is the favorite child. And it always brings shame. Maybe you're at school and you always feel the teacher heaps shame on you. Maybe you feel shame heaped on you because you're free in the Lord and others aren't as free. Maybe you feel shame heaped on you because you love your spouse. It's amazing things Christians will try to put shame on you for. At first, when Zechariah tried to give her the news, Elizabeth may have tried to dismiss it. Remember, he couldn't talk. So one of you may have kind of pointed to his stomach and gone, Zechariah, mad as always, go serve God in the temple, leave me alone. And I don't know, I wasn't there, but use your imagination. Maybe friends tried to offer her some encouragement. But really, encouragement was a discouragement. Try this, it might help you get pregnant. Maybe something's just wrong with you. And year after year, Elizabeth's hope would surely have died when she came to terms with the fact that she was barren. It was a shameful, permanent mark on her. And she accepted her loss of status in society, in a culture that valued and honored mothers. And she accepted her fate as a personal failure. But Luke 1:6 says this, both of them were righteous in God's sight, observing all the commands and decrees blamelessly, childless. And then God came. One moment. And isn't that like our lives? We can go through life and we can be struggling. And then God comes. One moment. Just one moment with Jesus changes everything. One moment in worship, you can be healed. One moment encountering Jesus through a word in a sermon can change your life forever. I was speaking to a young person the other day. I'm a teenager now. I'm not enjoying life. I said, who told you you're not meant to enjoy life? My teachers at school say teenagers are moody and depressed. So I guess that's what I need to be, he told me. He said, let me take you to the greatest teacher. His name is Jesus. He gives you life and life in abundance. Don't believe what people tell you. Believe what Jesus tells you. Oh, well, you don't have a degree. You'll never make it in life. Last time I checked, God's the one who promotes. Oh, you're overqualified. On an ordinary day, when we are faithful, doing the ordinary, mundane things in life, God comes along and he blows the lid of our lives. Imagine the joy she must have had. For Elizabeth, her joy must have been overwhelming. She had experienced a miracle, and it was a miracle that healed a lifetime of hurt. And God still provides miracles that can heal a lifetime of hurt. And it was only the beginning of what would come through her witness and her life. Now, in conclusion, I've got 3 points, but they're going to have to be my conclusion. Here we go. Our source of joy. Let's think about our source of joy. 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What is the end result of our faith? When you finally meet Jesus face to face one day. But we are receiving it now already. We are walking in that assurance of salvation. And yeah, Peter says, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Inexpressible and glorious joy. I mean, this is deep stuff. This is blowing the lid off the box stuff. You see, happiness comes and goes. We have birthday parties, are we happy? Your favorite song, yeah, it's sung on the radio on a hot summer's day on a Cornish beach. You're happy. You hear an encouraging message from someone, you're happy. You win at a sports game, you're happy. You have a delicious meal, you're happy. You hear a piece of beautiful music. Every time I hear Mozart's clarinet concerto, I'm transformed into a happy place. But feelings are fleeting. Just after you've heard that beautiful music, your next door neighbor turns up the heavy metal. It was Viktor Frankl, the famous Jewish survivor of World War II. He survived Nazi concentration camps. He wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And this is what he said. It is the very pursuit of happiness that thwarts happiness. It is the very pursuit of happiness that thwarts happiness. You see, joy includes happiness, but it runs much deeper. It permeates our souls. Joy is rooted in gratitude. Joy is rooted in meaning. Joy is hope fulfilled. Joy is based on our relationship with Jesus. Peter called it an inexpressible and glorious joy that is part of the inheritance of receiving Christ. I don't know about you, but think back to the day you gave your life to Jesus. Think of the joy. Think of the glide in your stride, the spring in your step. Then all of a sudden, something happens to Christians. They get baptized in lemon juice. It's a joke. Oh, it's so tough, it's so hard. Somebody sat in my seat in church. Well, get used to it. We want plenty of new people coming to church that they can have my seat. It's only an old pew, I don't want it anyway. John 16:22. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice. And no one will take away your joy. Jesus explained his death, his resurrection, and his coming again. No one can take away your joy. No one's got the right to take away your joy. There are joy stealers out there, the anointing killers out there. But you've got to decide, hey, I'm not in your circle. I'm living in Jesus. I have his joy. It's what he's given me. And you're not allowed to steal it from me. It's mine. We think of Nehemiah of the Old Testament, the Jewish leader who faced great odds in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And he experienced this truth. Nehemiah 8 verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you say that? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Coming into a land now, first of all, Jesus is the source of our joy. If you don't have joy this Christmas, can I invite you, even if you've known Jesus for 100 years, get back to the joy of your salvation. David in the Psalms prayed, Lord, do not take away, do not let me leave the joy of my salvation. Wow, joy. Imagine a church full of loving people. Imagine a church full of joyful people. Can I tell you something about joy? It's contagious. It's contagious. Let me tell you something about the opposite of joy, whatever you call that thing. We'll all call it something different. But whatever is the opposite of joy, that's also contagious. I don't know about you. I'm going to decide. I'm going to be contagious with joy. Secondly, joy defies our circumstances. Joy defies our circumstances. Look at James 1, verses 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Wow. Consider what kind of joy? Pure joy. We like pure things. Pure fruit juice, pure orange juice, not made from concentrate. The joy in us is not made from concentrate. It's made in Christ. And when we face trials, we can consider it Pure joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So why are we tried? Because it tests our faith. And why is our faith tried? Because it makes us persevere. I want Jesus more. I want His ways more. That's what this is saying. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Newsflash. Reading every day with Jesus 400 times a day doesn't make us mature. Yes, you need to read your Bible every day. But what makes us mature? When perseverance has finished its work. You can read the Bible all your life, but if you don't persevere in what God says, you'll never be mature. Wow. Let's persevere. Let's carry on running this good race. Mature and complete, not lacking anything. Man. This is better than anything the shops have on offer over Christmas. This is better than Harrods lit up on a dark winter's Christmas night. Yeah, in the UK, down at Knightsbridge. This is the joy that's unspeakable. That when you face a trial, you know, God is working in me and I'm becoming more like Jesus. And woo, I'm going to take the lid off this and I'm not going to live a miserable Christian life. I'm going to have joy in the Lord because His joy is my strength. And we've got to land. We've got to land, even though we're having fun. The last one is this. Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. We've got to choose. We're going to choose. Wake up tomorrow morning and it's cold. Storm, what's coming our way? Deirdre, Desiree, what's it called? Deirdre, that's it. There we go. Sorry, Desiree, but hello, Deirdre. Okay? And whatever this icy rain is, and you're going to wake up, oh, it's so cold. Oh, it's cold. Fantastic. Praise the Lord. It's cold. I'll tell myself that in the morning, okay? But it's a choice. We can either say, good morning, Lord, or good God, it's morning. But that's your choice. What foot do you want to put out of the bed tomorrow morning? This is preaching into your Monday. Tomorrow morning, no matter what you feel like, you could have been serving all day yet today. You've been here since early this morning. You're coming back for the carol service. You're going to clean up after the carol service. By the time you get home, you know, your back's going to be out of joint, your nose, everything's out of joint. And you're going to, oh, I can't wait. And you're going to wake up in the morning and it's going to feel like a Boeing 747 landed on you because you've been busy, 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 busy. And you've been giving, 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 giving. And no one at the church appreciates me. No one even saw what I did. I'm going to choose joy. Hallelujah. My soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For He has been mindful, this is Elizabeth, of the humble state of His servant. God is mindful of your humble state. Man, of His servant. I know we're children of God, but we're also servants of God. You work that theology out yourself, okay? From now on, all generations will call me blessed. God can pick our lives up, that others can look at us, and we can be a blessing to them. God wants to pick this church up, that all generations around us can come here and be blessed, and call us blessed. Wow. Who would ever have thought, from that little church building with the blue walls, that God would ever have done something so great? Wow. It's called joy. And Jesus invites you this Christmas to defy the odds, to defy your circumstances, and to choose Him, and to choose joy. Are we going to start right now? After the service today? Well, that preacher just carried on and on and on and on. He had obviously no regard. I've got to come back tonight. Why didn't he say something joyful? Wow. I've had a tough week. Reality, but joy. I've got Him with me. That He'll make a way because He's the way maker. He'll keep His promises. What do we choose to believe? We can live in unbelief or in faith. And joy and faith go hand in hand. Joy and faith are hand in glove. I'm going to speak joy. I don't know about you. I see you laughing at me. I don't know what it's all about. Am I dressed properly? Let's end. People have pursued joy in every avenue imaginable, or happiness in every avenue imaginable. Some have successfully found it, while others have not. Perhaps it would be easier to describe where joy cannot be found. Joy cannot be found in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type. He wrote, "I wish I had never been born." So joy is not found in unbelief. Joy is not found in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure. He wrote, "The worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone." Joy is not found in money, believe it or not. Jay Gould, the American millionaire of note, had plenty of that. When dying, he said, "I suppose I'm the most miserable man on earth." Joy cannot be found in position, and joy cannot be found in fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of fame and position, and he wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret." Joy cannot be found in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world of his day. Having done so, he wept in his tent and he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." Where's joy found? Where's real joy found? The answer's simple. The answer's real. Joy is found in a person, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a moment to let the word sink in. Some of you have got to choose joy. Even when somebody says something unjoyful. "My, it looks like the diet's not working. You know, I feel great in myself. The Lord is good to me." You can choose a joyful answer. Every Christian in this place, making a decision to choose joy. It's a choice. And it defies our circumstances. And I know some needs are real and deep and painful and messy. But Jesus wants to take it. You can literally have a new life. Really. So Christians, I'm going to pray for you in a minute. But first, you may have slipped away from the Lord. You've just realized, hey, he's just not in relationship anymore. It's not where it should be. And you want to just rededicate your life to the Lord today. Or you want to give your life to the Lord for the first time. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I do want to pray with you. And I am going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. So number one, Jesus is calling you today to believe in him. Maybe again or for the first time. But number one, believe on Jesus. Number two, confess your sin to him. Say, "Lord, I'm sorry." And number three, that's you. You want to say a prayer. "Jesus, come into my life." Again or for the first time. Whatever it is. Number three, just raise your hand right now. If that's you. Anyone like that here? Just be bold and brave. The Lord sees our hearts, and I pray that he'll meet you at your point of need. Now to the Christians, us who love Jesus. Maybe you've just got to say, "I choose joy. I choose joy. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus as the source of my joy." And I pray, Lord, for people here going through immense, unspeakable, unthinkable stuff in their lives, and pain and grief and sorrow and suffering, where joy seems like a solar system away. I pray that you'd meet with them today, right now, in a very special way, in Jesus' name, and pour out your joy, a glimmer of hope, a miracle, provision. I pray you do this now for your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, the team's going to lead us in a last song. Please join us for refreshing.